जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सद श्रीमद हिजडवैन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगमयी की जय यमुनामयी की जय भक्ति देवी की जय तुलसी देवी की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय कलियुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय समवेत गौर भक्त वृंद की जय All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga.
Hare Krishna. Grateful to all of you for coming on time so that we can hear Krishna Katha. I'm happy to announce that we have amongst us Gauranga Darshan Prabhu from G.V. Vada. He is a student of IISc in Bangalore, joined ISKCON in 2009. He is in Vada now and he is a dean of Bhakti Vidya Peet, where we teach Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrit. And he also assists Gauranga Prabhu there for all the services, and he has been doing this course, that Bhakti Vidya Peet course, and also many teachers have come from there. So we'll be happy to have him amongst us. Let us welcome him by loudly chanting the Mahamantra. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Kamalochan Prabhu would like to say something before he begins.
So when we are deciding about, discussing about what to do during the evening time, so let us, we thought of relishing Bhagavatam and Krishna Katha. Then the schedule was actually 9th, 10th and 11th. Then Dekanam told that I am not there on 9th, so you arrange the program on 8th. So then we had this 8th, 9th, 10th and 11th. So now Krishna Katha, who would give? So we thought Radheshyamprabhu would be given, but he's coming tomorrow. So today's day was empty. Then I immediately remembered Gauranga Darshan Prabhu, that he is a very interesting personality for all of us, especially ISKCON India Youth Convention. As budding youth preachers, what I have noticed is we learn certain basic presentations of DYS, Journey of Self-Discovery, Positive Thinker and few things. And somehow we forget very one important thing in our life as a devotee is to relish Srimad Bhagavatam. In the initial 8 to 10 years of our brahmachari life, we have got a lot of energy, we taste success, everything is fine. Then after 10 years, the mind actually hankers for rasa, spiritual rasa. And that is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. If we don't train our mind to relish Srimad Bhagavatam right from now, it is very difficult to do it after 10 years. Because after 10 years you got so many responsibilities, managerial responsibilities, so many anxieties, even within the ISKCON movement, because you've done so much of preaching, you will get a department to manage. At that time, to do quality study of Bhagavatam and to relish Bhagavatam quite becomes difficult. And that is the time when the mind takes enjoyment, pleasure in other different rasas of this world. So the greatest gift to ISKCON, especially for the brahmacharis, which has happened in ISKCON for brahmacharis is that we have a facility in Wada where every brahmachari can spend 2 years in the beginning stage itself and then study Srimad Bhagavatam under the guidance of Gauranga Darshan Prabhu. So he is such an important personality for us, and we have many ratnas, many diamonds in our society, but it's a very important diamond considering a very important verse in Bhagavatam, which is actually a description of Rasamalayam. In the 7th chapter, the first canto of Bhagavatam, where Vyasa is actually having realization. Vyasa's realization has been analyzed nicely by Jiva Goswami in Tattva Sandarbha. Very interesting verse comes, which everybody knows, we all know it. Sisyam vai shuemanayam krishne paramapurushe bhaktirutpadyate pumsa shoka moha bhayapaha. So while commenting on this verse, Srila Vishwanatha Thakur says, samitayaha prema sambhavayatyaha. He says, this verse is spoken to say that how this Bhagavatam is meant for relishing and developing prema in the heart. And then he goes on further, says, yasyam shruyamana neva kim punaha. What to speak of just of those who are hearing Bhagavatam? Superior to those who are actually hearing Bhagavatam. Shruyatam kimantaram kimtaram. He says, those who actually organize a place or organize Bhagavatam where they give facility for people to hear Bhagavatam, they are far superior. And then he goes on further saying that what to speak of these people. Kirtyamanayam means one who actually speaks Bhagavatam is far superior to the person who actually makes people hear Bhagavatam. And then says, beyond those who actually speak Bhagavatam are those who actually make others speak Bhagavatam. So one interesting point is, we all give Bhagavatam classes, but there is a serious doubt on the quality of the classes, because that is an inspiration for those who are hearing the Bhagavatam. So if the quality of the Bhagavatam class is not up to the mark, it is going to affect the entire temple. It has been experienced by many devotees. So it is not just speaking Bhagavatam, it is to increase the quality of our class of Bhagavatam, increase the quality of our Bhagavatam class. And that is only possible when we actually learn Srimad Bhagavatam. It is not just reading and giving, it should be learned. Bhagavata padiya Bhagavata sthane. And now Gauranga Darshan Prabhu, he has this position of making people speak Bhagavatam. Not only just hear, not only just make people hear, not only just speak, but making others speak Bhagavatam. Sri Vishwanatha Thakur says that he is the topmost. And I was, when I joined ISKCON, I was always longing for a person or institute or a temple in ISKCON where there is a complete study, there is a facility for complete study of Bhagavatam. So somehow, very near to us, Wada, we have this facility. Somehow, in this condition, I am not able to take this opportunity to do that. But still, I sincerely request all of you or those whom you are guiding, if at all you get an opportunity, spend these 2 years in Wada studying Bhagavatam. It will be a lifelong experience, and you will be relishing these 2 years lifelong, because the mind requires relish, and our only source of relishment is Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is why we called Gauranga Darshan Prabhu all the way from Wada to speak to us. Hare Krishna.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाधन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितं हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण वेरी हैप्पी एंड ग्रेटफुल टू बी अमंगस्ट सो मेनी डिवोटीज हू आर स्प्रेडिंग कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस the movement of Prabhupada, and I sincerely seek blessings from all the senior devotees here, Kamal Lochan Prabhu, Atul Krishna Prabhu, Baldev Prabhu, Lakshmipati Prabhu from Tirupati, like that. There are so many senior devotees here who are at least a couple of decades elder to me, experienced than me, and more realized than me, but out of their sheer humility, they are instructing me to speak a few words in glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam. Taking this as an instruction, I try to share whatever I am able to learn by the mercy of senior devotees. And I seek blessings from Bhakti Vinod Prabhu also. And Kamal Lochan Prabhu has just now has spoken a few words about Vidyapeeth. And Bhagavatam study that's happening there. However, I'm honestly saying the entire credit must go to His Grace Gauranga Prabhu. It is His desire that devotees of ISKCON should study Srimad Bhagavatam very systematically. And He launched this course more than 6 years back, mid-2012. And He has generously engaged me in this service, although I have several shortcomings in doing this service. So somehow by the blessings of so many devotees and support of so many devotees, service is happening. And I was called by one of the organizers here a couple of days back. So I was just thinking I need to speak to preachers. I'm only used to teaching Bhagavatam to students of Vidyapeeth. So what will I speak to the preachers? Then I said, whatever I know, that only I can speak. Whatever I have been doing all these years, that only I can do. So I thought I will share a few words about Bhagavatam. And especially from the perspective of propagating the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's why I took this title, Preservation by Propagation. And when I just came here, Kamal Lochan Prabhu told the purpose of calling me. So, to speak a few words about Bhagavatam and relishing Srimad Bhagavatam. Then I said, okay, fine, somehow, Paramatma's inspiration. I'm in line with his expectations. So, preservation through propagation. So, the title of this current, this talk is this, but it's under the bigger title of Krishna Katha, that's what I was told. So I thought we'll begin with this beautiful verse, which most of you must be knowing. Parasparanu kathanam pavanam bhagavadyashah mithoratir mithastushtir nivrittir mitha atmanah paraspara anukathanam. Paraspara means mutual. Anukathanam means discussing the narrations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are pavanam. They are extremely purifying. They are bhagavad yashaha. Those narrations are connected with the glorification of Bhagavan, Krishna. When we discuss about Krishna, that discussion is so purifying to all of us. Mitho ratihi. Mutually, our attraction towards Krishna will increase. Mithaha tushtihi. Mutually, our satisfaction of hearts will increase. Nivrittir mitha atmanaha. Nivritti means our desire for sense gratification will go down when we come together amongst the association of devotees and discuss Krishna Katha. So today we will discuss about preservation through propagation. That's the title. So how do we preserve things? If it is a pickle, we try to store things. Preservation basically means storing, keeping it safe, protecting it from any attacks, right? That's what preservation means. So you preserve a valuable object. If it is gold or diamond, you put it in a locker and then lock it nicely, safely. If it is a pickle like this, you just put it in a glass jar and close it tightly, or you may put some cloth on it and then close it so that no air also enters inside and fungus doesn't come, right? So preservation has different techniques depending on what we want to preserve. However, when it comes to preserving knowledge, moral values, culture, the process of spiritual education, the preservation of this process will happen by propagating it. Right? The preservation of the knowledge of scriptures will happen by propagating the knowledge of scriptures. Not that we take Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita and put in our locker and then lock it nicely, preserving Bhagavatam knowledge. It doesn't happen like that. Right? Knowledge, especially scriptural knowledge, and the culture taught by scriptures is preserved by better propagating it. So we are all here to discuss how to propagate that scriptural knowledge, which is ultimately, essentially, bhakti yoga unto Krishna. So when Sukadeva Goswami is speaking this Srimad Bhagavata Puran to Parikshit Maharaj, he is basically propagating this knowledge. Yah svanubhavam akhila srutisaram ekam adhyatma deepam atititirishatam tamondham samsarinam karunaya aha purana guhyam. It is a guhya purana. It's a very confidential purana. But samsarinam karunaya, out of his great compassion upon samsaris who are rotting in the samsara, Sukadeva Goswami has spoken it and it got propagated. And Prabhupada has put it into English and then propagated throughout the world, right? So all the acharyas are doing this work of propagation of the scriptural knowledge. In the commentary of a verse in the third canto, Sri Vishnu Chakurta Thakur says, Brahma created Brahmanas with a desire to preserve the Vedas by propagating them. My inspiration to give this title to this presentation is coming from this statement of Vishnachakurti Thakur. Brahmaji created the Brahmanas to preserve the Vedic knowledge by propagating the Vedic knowledge. Vedic knowledge is preserved by propagating it. And Prabhupada, in that same purport, he comments, the purpose of the Vedas is to propagate the transcendental knowledge of the absolute truth. The Brahmanas were created from the mouth of the Supreme Person, and therefore they are meant to spread the knowledge of the Vedas in order to spread the glories of the Lord. So Brahmanical activity is, one of the most prominent activity of Brahmanas is to preserve the Vedic knowledge by propagating the Vedic knowledge. So today we'll discuss these five sub-topics under this main theme. First, purpose of propagation. Why do we need to propagate? Why can't we just study and keep quiet? Why we have to spread this knowledge? Second, what are the prerequisites for propagation? Third, what is the perfect tool for propagation? Fourth, how do we present ourselves while propagating this message? Fifth, who are the perfect propagators? We need some role models, right, to look forward to. When we are getting into propagating, how other people have propagated, we need to understand that. That's the last topic. So first we'll see the purpose of propagation. In one line, purpose of propagating scriptural knowledge is to keep the path back to Godhead accessible to everyone. In one statement, that's the essence. To elaborate it, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadev Goswami, while he was describing the monsoon in Vrindavan, he makes a beautiful statement. This is monsoon in Jeevi Vrindavan. This is a picture from our Govardhan Eco Village. So it's in the agriculture fields. So during monsoon it was clicked. So what do you see here? You see the pathway, but the pathway is getting covered by the growing grasses, is it not? So the pathway is getting covered because so many grasses are getting grown, unnecessary plants are growing on the pathway. It doesn't happen in tar road or cement road, it happens in a mud road generally. During monsoon, there is a lot of downpour of rain that many pathways are not used. Right, mud pathways in the villages, the pathways are not used. When pathways are not used, unnecessary plants will grow there. So Sukadeva Goswami was describing this feature of monsoon in Vrindavan, and he was making a beautiful point. That's another inspiration for me. Every time when I give the inaugural talk, the orientation class for a batch in Vidyapeeth, I show this picture and then repeat what Vishnachakurti Thakur and Prabhupada have spoken about this statement of Sukadeva Goswami. The point that Sukadeva Goswami communicates here is, when scriptures are not studied properly, then just like green grasses grow on the pathways when they are not used in monsoon, when scriptures are not studied properly, they are covered by the unscrupulous commentaries or unscrupulous explanations of people in this world. Basically, scriptures show path back to Godhead by inspiring us to practice bhakti yoga, essentially. Right? Scriptures teach us how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus they show path back to Godhead. And if the scriptures are not studied properly, just like this monsoon pathway is closed by all these growing grasses, similarly, path back to Godhead will remain closed. It will not be accessible, right? For example, I was reflecting on this beautiful analogy. When grasses grow a lot on the pathway in monsoon, even if people notice that there is a pathway, once there was a pathway here, even if the people notice, they can't walk on that path. First, because the grasses grow so much, you don't even understand that there is a pathway there. Right? After 4 months of monsoon, you don't even understand, oh, I can go in this path also to my destination. Why I have to go like this? That takes me to somewhere else and it wastes a lot of time. First, path becomes unnoticeable. Second, even if you recognize that there is a path there, you don't feel confident to walk on that path because so many scorpions may be there, thick bushes, na? Snakes may be there, you don't feel confident. Or even if none of such poisonous insects or creatures are not there, you just feel lazy to just walk on that end by clearing it. Is it not? Similarly, if one generation does not study scriptures, what will happen is the next generation will not have any inspiration to access the scriptures. It becomes the responsibility of a devotee in a bona fide Vaishnava Sampradaya, at least few devotees who are practicing under one bona fide Vaishnava Sampradaya, they are supposed to study the scriptures nicely and take up this important task of spreading the message in those scriptures far and wide. Right? Otherwise, it remains inaccessible. Right? Path becomes inaccessible. Monsoon. 4 months, path is not used, path is closed. One generation, scriptures are not studied, they become inaccessible. Or a couple of generations, whatever it may be. We should not be thinking in those lines. It should not happen. It should never happen. Right? By the grace of Acharyas, it should never happen. But that's the importance that Sukadeva Goswami is communicating through this simple example. Thus, by studying Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, all our Bhakti scriptures, as explained by our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, we are trying to keep the path back to Godhead open. There's another beautiful analogy that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives. Right in the first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, you see, here, a watchman is there, he's sleeping. And some robbers have stolen the treasury. You see? Simple picture. From this picture, Chakravartipada says, all the nice meanings, all the eloquent and deep meanings of scriptures, scriptural verses, as presented in the commentaries of Acharyas, are like treasure. Right? Are actually not like treasure, they are like watchmen who are guarding the treasure. But the treasure is the satisfaction of heart. Satisfaction of one's heart is treasure house, is the treasure. And all the commentaries of Acharyas, bona fide commentaries of Vaishnava Acharyas on bona fide scriptures, they are like watchmen. Just like when a watchman sleeps, the treasure is stolen. Similarly, the commentaries of Acharyas, when they are not studied properly by the followers of that sampradaya, the satisfaction of the heart is stolen. By whom? By robbers. Who are the robbers? Unscrupulous commentators who misinterpret scriptures, who give their own concocted explanation of scriptures. Right? When bona fide explanations are not studied, non-bona fide explanations will be propagated. Right? They will just take over. So don't give way to these robbers, Chakravartipada says. Right? Right in the first chapter he comments like this. Thus it becomes a need, very important need for the practitioners of any bona fide Vaishnava Sampradaya to study the literatures as explained by the Acharyas. So there are two types of book distribution. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj says, long back. He says, one book distribution is the traditional way that what we do, especially in December marathon, we sell so many books, we distribute so many books to different people, and then that's like one type of book distribution. Another type of book distribution is preaching. What is there inside the books, the knowledge which is there inside the books, if one shares that knowledge to people in general, that's another type of book distribution. Both should go on. So now one is selling the book as it is. Second is communicating the knowledge within the book in a way understandable by people in general. Two ways. So we discussed the purpose of propagation. So the purpose of propagation in short is
We need to keep the path back to Godhead accessible by studying the scriptures nicely and by propagating the message of the scriptures properly. Second, there are some prerequisites, or there are some things that facilitate this propagation nicely. So now there are many. I just took three of them. One, blessings. Two, personally relishing it. Three, imbibing a spirit of compassion. Let's elaborate on this. Sukadeva Goswami, when he was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami was present in the audience. And he spoke to Naimisharanya sages. And the sages of Naimisharanya glorified Suta Goswami. Vetatvam somya tatsarvam tatvatastad anugrahat bhruyusnigdhasya sishyasya guravo guhyam apyuta. Vetatvam, you know everything. Somya, oh gentle and simple Suta Goswami, you know everything. Tat sarvam, everything is known to you. Everything means essence of all scriptures. Tattvatastad anugrahat. How did you know? Because you got the anugraha of all your gurus. Bhruyuhu snigdhasya. Because you are so affectionate towards your gurus, you are so obedient towards your gurus. Bhruyuhu snigdhasya sishyasya. You are a very gentle disciple. Guravo guhyam apyuta. They have revealed all kinds of confidential secrets unto you. So Suta Goswami is bestowed with the knowledge of all scriptures, confidential meanings of the scriptures, because of two qualities, Saumya and Snigdha. Personally, he is very simple and pure. Next, in relationship with his gurus, he is very affectionate and respectful and obedient and submissive. That simplicity and submissive service attitude towards superiors acted as a great blessing upon him. So when that blessings come, that will give us the necessary bandwidth to absorb scriptural knowledge and propagate scriptural knowledge. That's what Suta Goswami is saying. Right in the first chapter, this is I think 8th verse of the first chapter. Right in the beginning only a lot is revealed. Now, there is another beautiful verse. You must guess what's going to come up next. Nigama Kalpatar. Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam sukamukhadamrtadrava samyutam pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhurahorasika bhumi bhavukaham. Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam. All the Vedic scriptures are like a desire tree, kalpataru. Galitam phalam, the ripened fruit of this desire tree of Vedic literatures is Srimad Bhagavatam. Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam. Next is sukamukhad amrutadrava samyutam. The fruit is already ripened, but when a parrot's beak touches the fruit, its relish increases, its flavor increases. So Bhagavatam, which is the narration of pastimes of Krishna, is already so sweet and nectarian. But when Sukadeva Goswami spoke that Srimad Bhagavatam, it has become all the more nectarian. Right, that flavor of nectar increased. Right, pibata, drink. Bhagavatam rasamalayam. Please drink this abode of all rasas, all mellows. Muhur, constantly you should drink. And the first line says, galitam phalam, it is fruit. Third line says, drink. Do you eat the fruit or drink the fruit? You generally eat the fruit. If it is made into juice, then you can drink it. Is it not? But third, is an inconsistency in the grammar, right? Or by the time he came to third line, did the writer forgot what he wrote in the first line? So the acharyas give this beautiful commentary. This fruit, this sweet nectarian fruit, does not have the objectionable parts like the peel and the seed inside. What's inside? Pulp, right? So when pulp, that semi-solid pulp is there, you drink it, you don't eat it. You don't have to eat it. You can drink it. So that's why pibata, bhagavatam, rasamalayam. Muhur, constantly you should drink. Generally when you drink, if it is intoxicant, when you drink an intoxicant, people will just get into samadhi, right? Then muhur, a person who is addicted to drinking, what does he do? He drinks, he faints, again he gets up and then he drinks. Rasam alayam. Alayam is the highest stage of ecstasy, ashtasattvic vikara. So at that stage, we faint. So just like a drunkard drinks and faints and gets up because he's addicted to drinking, he drinks again and he faints, gets up, drinks, faints. Similarly, devotee should relish Srimad Bhagavatam. Drink Bhagavatam, faint, get up, drink, faint, get up, drink, faint, get up, drink, faint. Muhur, aho. And who can do this? Only seasoned drunkards can do this. Right? Rasika bhuvi bhavukaha. Only rasikas and bhuvi bhavukas can do it. So there Chakravartipad says, bhakti yogis only can do this. Jnanis cannot do. Karmis cannot do. Yogis cannot do. All other kinds of categories. Materialistic people, of course, they cannot do. Only rasika bhuvi bhavukaha. Thoughtful people who are so devoted to Krishna, only they can relish it. A drunkard, he can relish if he's a seasoned drunkard. Right? If he is just a beginner, he will drink and then he may say like this and then he will, don't give me, don't give me. I don't have any experience. I'm just saying like that. I don't have any experience of doing it. So a new drunkard, he may drink and then he may feel very disgusted with that. Similarly, someone who is just opening Bhagavatam, Janmadyasyataha, his mind is going like that. He will close the book. Right? But if you continue to read, continue to relish it, then you will not close the book. You don't feel like closing the book only. Become a seasoned drunkard. That's the message from this verse. So we are all here to become drunkards. Right? And I will introduce you to more drunkards in Bhagavatam. Right? And drunkards basically means one who relished personally Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhaktim moho pravahatam tvayi me prasangam. Bhuyadananta mahata mamalashayanam. Yenan jasolbana muruvyasanam bhavabdhim. Neshye bhavad gunakatham ritapanamattaham. This is a beautiful prayer by Dhruva Maharaj. Just before this prayer, he offered another prayer. Yanirvritis tanubhritam tavapada padmadhyanat bhavat janakatha shravanena vasyat sa brahmanisva mahimanyapi natham abhut kim tvantakasi lulitat patatam vimanat. I'll not go into all word to word, otherwise rest half an hour we'll go into that only. Essence of that verse is, if at all one has to attain any happiness, it can be attained only in two ways. One, tavapada padma dhyanat, by meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord. Number two, bhavat jana katha shravanena vasyat, by hearing Krishna katha from the devotees of Krishna. Happiness can be attained in these two ways only. In comparison to this happiness, the happiness of merging in Brahman is useless. And what to speak of the happiness of, so-called happiness of entering the heavenly planets. Then he says this verse. Bhaktim buhuhu pravahatam tvayime prasango. Here also, I will not elaborate so much. Here also the essence is, one has to learn to relish Krishna katha in the association of devotees. Bhuyat ananta mahatam amalashayanam. Devotees have spotless aspirations. In their aspirations or desires, there is absolutely nothing objectionable, nothing material. In their association, Krishna katha is nectarian. Then the Lord might question Dhruva Maharaj. You are saying, I am standing right in front of you, giving you darshan along with Garudaji. And you are saying, you want the association of devotees and you want to hear Krishna Katha from there. You want to hear Bhagavatam class. I am standing right in front of you. Take advantage of my association. You want the association of my devotees. What about your deliverance from material existence? I can give you moksha. I can liberate you from this material existence. What is your plan about it? Then he says, Yena Anjasa, very easily. Ulbana Muru Vyasanam Bhavabdhim Neshye. Neshye means crossing over material existence. Bhava abdhim, bhava is material existence, abdhi is an ocean. Vyasana means it's filled with so many difficulties, so many obstacles. Uru means greatly difficult to surpass. So that bhava is qualified with abdhi, vyasanam, uru, ulbanam. So all these words more or less mean the same only, that material existence is unsurpassable. It's extremely difficult. Someone is dropped in the middle of an ocean and he doesn't know swimming. He can't see the shore. What is the scope for him to survive in that ocean when that ocean is infested with so many sharks, big, big whales, and there is no boat to be seen? So that's how it is difficult to cross over this material ocean. But he says, Neshye yena anjasa. Extremely easy for me to cross over this material ocean. Why? Bhavat guna kathamrita pana mattaha. Because when I hear your glories, I get intoxicated. Another drunkard. Right? Hearing glories of Krishna will make me intoxicated. I drink, I faint, I get up again, I want to drink more. Oh, and I want the association of so many other drunkards. Right? I want the association of devotees who are also like drunkards. They constantly pour the nectar in my glass and I keep drinking. I faint. Together we faint. Together we wake up each other and together we drink. We want that. We want to enter this bar of Krishna consciousness. Right? Where nectar is being served. Krishna Katha is being served. Another drunkard. Lokamscha lokanu gatam pasumscha hitvashritaste charanata patram parasparam tvadgunavadasidhum piyusha niryapita deha dharmaham. Lokamscha means worldly affairs. Loka anugatamscha, one who is so dedicated and devoted to worldly affairs. Pashumsha, they are like animals. Lokamscha, lokanugatam, pashumsha hitva. Ashritaste charanata patram. These fellows, they just give up the shelter of your lotus feet. They are like atapatram, umbrella. The rain of threefold miseries of material existence is falling and Lord's lotus feet will act like an umbrella. You can safely stay under it. But hitva, giving up your lotus feet that can shelter you from all threefold miseries, these people are absorbed in worldly affairs. But they don't know the secret. What is that? Parasparam tvad gunavada sidhu. Parasparam, mutually, if you come and discuss the qualities of Krishna, gunavada sidhu, it is like intoxicant. Drunkards, right? It's intoxicating to drink the nectar of Krishna's katha in the association of devotees. So he uses the word sidhu, that is intoxicant, and Piyusha also uses, that is nectar. Piyusha is nectar and sidhu is intoxicant. This is intoxicating nectar. Any intoxicant if you take, that will spoil the health, that will degrade the consciousness. But this intoxicant is nectarian, that will uplift the consciousness. We are happy to come into this kind of bar and this kind of association of drunkards, not that kind. Piyusha niryapita deha dharmaha. They just give up all the bodily afflictions and then take shelter of Krishna. Another drunkard. Naivo dvije para duratyaya vaitaranya tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chitta. I'll stop here. Next line, we'll go to next topic. Naivo dvije para duratyaya vaitaranya. Prahlad Maharaj, earlier also he said, Naham bibhe mejujateti bhayanakasya jihvakra netra bhrukuti rabhasogra damstrat. Like that he said, Narasimhadev, your fearful existence is not causing any fear in me. Right? But what is causing fear in me? Material existence is causing fear in me. And now he says, no, material existence is also not causing any fear in me. He says, why material existence does not cause any fear in my heart? Because tadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chittaha. My mind gets intoxicated when I hear the narrations of your glorious qualities. Tadvirya gayana, when someone narrates the or sings the glories of Krishna, magna chittaha. Prahlad Maharaj says, my mind gets absorbed there. Where is the question of material existence for me? No. So next point, when someone can get intoxicated to that level by relishing the glories of Krishna, then his heart will be filled with compassion also. One of the qualities that manifest in his heart is compassion towards those people who are materialistic drunkards. We are also drunkards on a spiritual plane, but these people are drinking on a material plane. We don't want to change their designation. We just want to change what is getting into their glass. Right? Instead of wine, we want to put Krishna Katha there, nectar. So they will remain drunkards only, but drunkards of Krishna Katha, Krishna Gunas. So he says, Soche tato vimukhache tasa indriyartha maya sukhaya bharamudvahato vimudhan. I am extremely lamenting and concerned about vimudha, donkey-like people, ass-like people who do not take shelter of Krishna, who have turned their faces away from Krishna. Vimukha chetasa indriyarthah. Vimukha chetasa means their consciousness has turned away from Krishna. For what? Indriyarthah. For the purpose of fulfilling their sense gratification. So I am very much worried about them. That is Prahlad Maharaj's concern. So when a devotee himself, devotee is one who himself relishes the glories of Krishna. Second, he wants others also to relish the glories of Krishna. So, thus he preaches. Thus it goes out and spreads Krishna consciousness. When a devotee speaks about Krishna, and if he has love for Krishna, that will create such a tremendous impact on the hearer that the hearer will relish more than the speaker. Right? In one sense. For that, the speaker should have some love for Krishna. One beautiful, sweet pastime. Krishna would go to different houses in Vrindavan. Although he's just a 2-3-year-old boy, he did not leave a single house in Vrindavan. Every house he goes and then steals butter, yogurt, buttermilk and everything, whatever they make. All the gopis apparently get so irritated by Krishna's naughty activities. Actually, they don't get irritated. Actually, they make butter only so that Krishna can come and steal it. And that's the greatest ecstasy that they have. One day if Krishna comes late, they keep saying, "Are, abhi tak aaya nahi," like that. But apparently they exhibit anger. They ridicule Krishna. They chastise Krishna. So one day they all thought, Krishna is stealing butter in our houses. But Krishna never steals butter in Gopi's house, Yashodamai's house. Means Yashodamai is deprived of the pleasure of seeing Krishna's butter stealing activities. We are so fortunate, we are seeing Krishna's butter stealing activities, but Yashoda is not so fortunate. Let us give the same fortune to her. All these Gopis went to Yashodamai's house to narrate Krishna's butter stealing activities in the form of complaints. So apparently they are angry with Krishna and they are complaining about Krishna, but internally they were relishing every bit of activity of Krishna by remembrance, by narration. They discuss Krishna's activities amongst themselves and they come in front of Yashoda and then again they discuss in the form of complaints, apparently anger, frustration, right? And they are bothered apparently, but not so. Now, Yashodamai heard all these activities. Of course, another truth is, Krishna steals butter in Yashoda's house also. That they don't know. So, all these complaints Yashodamai was hearing. So, acharyas say that Yashodamai's relish in hearing Krishna's butter stealing pastimes is more than the gopis' relish who have seen Krishna's butter stealing pastimes. The gopis only saw Krishna's butter stealing pastimes, they got some relish. But Yashodamai has heard those pastimes, same pastimes, mixed with the love and affection of gopis. Thus, the flavor of Krishna Katha increased. Sukamukhad amrita drava samyutam. Bhagavatam is also already like amrita nectar. But when Sukadeva Goswami spoke it, its flavor increased, is it not? Krishna's butter stealing pastimes are already sweet. But the sweetness increased when Gopi spoke it. Thus, when a devotee loves Krishna, and when he speaks about Krishna, the relish that narrations have is more than the activity itself. To that extent, gopis love Krishna. And we take our baby steps to cultivate some little love for Krishna, some drop. If they have an ocean of love, we take baby steps to cultivate one drop, like that. So personal relishing, personally relishing Krishna Katha is one key factor to present to others. Now, that's done with compassionate spirit. Initially, I spoke this verse also. Yasvanu bhavam. We'll recite this again. Yasvanu bhavam akhila shruti saramekam. Adhyatma deepam atititi rishatanta mondham. Samsarinam karunayah purana guhyam. Tam vyasa sunum upayami gurum muninam. Yahasvanu bhavam. After having personally assimilated the essence of Bhagavatam. Akhila shruti saramekam. Bhagavatam is the essence of all scriptures, and Sukadeva Goswami has assimilated it. Then adhyatma deepam, then this knowledge which is illuminating the soul. Atiti tirishatam tamundham, and this knowledge will make one cross over this material existence. That knowledge was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami out of his great compassion. Tam vyasasunu mupayami gurum muninam. Vyasasunu means the son of Vyasadeva, Sukadeva Goswami, has been so empowered by Srimad Bhagavatam, so much so that his own guru, Vyasadeva, his paramaguru, Narada Muni, they were sitting in the audience and hearing as if they are hearing Bhagavatam for the first time. Vyasadeva himself has written it, and he taught it to Sukadeva Goswami still. He was so mesmerized when Sukadeva Goswami was presenting it. Why? Svanubhavam. Sukadeva Goswami did not, Prabhupada writes in one purport also, he was not glorified for his parrot-like repetition. He has understood it, and he has presented it according to the audience, according to the need of audience, like that. So when someone has assimilated the essence of it, then one will be able to present it according to the need of audience also. Of course, different people can do in different ways. Right, not everyone needs to do everything in every possible way, but the essence is when one personally assimilates, then he can present it according to the context. So Vidura is also imbibed with the spirit of compassion. When he went and inquired from Maitreya, he first asked, Sukhaya karmani karoti loko. Natai sukham van yaduparamam van. Vindeta bhuyastata eva dukham. Yadatra yuktam bhagavan vadenaham. Sukhaya karmani karoti loko. People in this world perform so many activities for sukha. Natai sukham, they don't get sukha. Va anyat, they get opposite of it, distress, dukkha. Uparamam va, but they don't get satiated in their endeavors for happiness. They endeavor for happiness, they don't get happiness, they get distress, but they don't stop their endeavors. 4 points. Yadatra yuktam bhagavan vadenaha. What is the solution for this problem? Then Maitreya Muni says in his answer, Soham Brunam Kshulla Sukhaya Dukkham. Mahadgatanam Viramayatasya.
pravartaye bhagavatam puranam yadah sakshat bhagavan rishibhyah soham runam kshulla sukhaya, for meager amount of happiness, dukkham mahat, great amount of distress, viramaya tasya, to give a break to this kind of endeavor, to give a break to the process of purchasing one plate meal with 1,000,000 rupees. Right? Kshulla sukhaya mahadukham. To stop that, pravartaye bhagavatam puranam. I am going to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami says, Maitreya Muni says. So we have seen in the second part of our presentation that to be able to propagate the message of scriptures, we need to have blessings from our superiors. We need to have personal relish. We should be able to personally relish what we are studying. Then we will be able to share it. Third is a spirit of compassion. Someone asked, how do we imbibe spirit of compassion? How do we get compassion? Basically, it's not our compassion. It is the compassion of acharyas, compassion of acharyas. We are being instruments of their compassion. Right? So by being an instrument of the compassion of acharyas, then we will be able to propagate. We'll discuss more of it towards the end. So third aspect is the tool, perfect tool for propagating this. So we said we propagate the Vedic culture, moral values, scriptural, spiritual principles. So scriptures are what is meant to be propagated, right? So all scriptures have their relevance, right? Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita and all. But in this context, I'll speak a few words about Srimad Bhagavatam only. After the enigmatic disappearance of Krishna, Krishna again made his ecstatic appearance in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And just like all the incarnations of Krishna restore dharma and deliver devotees, paritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya cha dushkrutam, dharma samsthapanarthaya. These three things all avatars do. When Krishna comes as a fish, he's Matsyavatar, Vamanavatar, Varahavatar, Krishna, Rama, Hamsa. So all these avatars of Krishna, they do this restoring dharma and delivering devotees. Similarly, Bhagavatam also does the same. Bhagavatam is no less than any incarnation. Oh, it's a book. It's not a personality. What it can do? Yes, it can still restore dharma. It can do paritranaya sadhunam. Bhagavatam can do vinashaya cha dushkritam. Bhagavatam can do dharma samsthapan. Savai pumsam paro dharma. In fact, Bhagavatam is a combination of all incarnations. One incarnation will perform the pastimes of that incarnation only. Matsyavatar will do Matsyavatar pastimes only. Matsyavatar will not do Kurmavatar's pastimes. Right? But Bhagavatam does all pastimes. Bhagavatam has Matsyavatar, Kurmavatar, Varahavatar, Narasimhavatar, Krishna, Ram, everybody is there. Right? So Bhagavatam is a combination of all avatars. So that means the sound vibration about Krishna is non-different from the personality Krishna. This is Granthavatar. So Vyasadeva, Brahmaji, has spoken Veda. And all the Vedic mantras, in the 12th canto it is mentioned, all the Vedic mantras came from the four mouths of Brahma. And they were like colorful jewels, colorful stones, yellow color stones, red color stones, green stones, blue stones, like that colorful stones are coming. And Vyasadeva segregated them. Right? All yellow stones together, blue stones together. So that is division into four Vedas. Initially one Veda divided into four means this. So after that, he appointed professors of Vedas. Rig Veda's professor is Paila. Atharva Veda's professor is Samantu. So like that, Rig, Yajur, Sama, Atharva, all these Vedas are allocated to different disciples of Vyasadeva. And they divided those Vedas into further parts and they
propagated that Vedic knowledge through their disciples. So, like that Vyasadeva, his disciples, his grand disciples, his great grand disciples, all these people formed a big team and propagated this Vedic knowledge in small sections, right? They presented things in a more lucid manner. And Vyasadeva wrote 18 Puranas, right? And after having done so much, Vyasadeva was quite feeling incomplete. Then Narada Muni came and instructed Vyasadeva. So, to write Srimad Bhagavatam. So this, Kamalochan Prabhu has already mentioned in the beginning. I will not elaborate more on that Vyasadeva's thing. Now, Bhagavatam scripture, how relevant it is to the masses. Now, it's too hi-fi. Maybe it's not for me, or maybe it's not for them. Because it's not for them and I'm dealing with them, I don't have to read it. So there could be so many other options that may appear in the mind. But one beautiful verse that comes in the first canto struck me very well. In my third or fourth reading. Now, when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not that we get everything. After reading 10 times also, there are so many sections still unclear. Right? That's why we need to read again and again. One thing is relish part, second thing is Kali Yuga intelligence part or assimilation part. So one verse that struck me in later readings is how Bhagavatam is relevant for everyone. Tamapyadhapras rutastu vishrutam vibhoha samapyate yena vidam bubhutsitam. I'll tell the meaning of this. This Bhagavatam, Sukadeva, Narada Muni spoke to Narada Muni told, instructed Vyasadeva to write Srimad Bhagavatam in such a way that it satisfies the hankerings of learned people. Two, it mitigates the miseries of common people. If you are a scholar, if you are a rasika, if you are a very exalted devotee, muhura ho rasika bhavi bhavuka, Bhagavatam has everything in it. If one has so many desires, material desires, desire for salvation, Bhagavatam has everything also. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udara dhihi tivriyana bhakti yogena ejeta purushah param. Whichever category one may be in, Bhagavatam has something in it. Right? So, it is relevant for everyone, but we need to identify the relevance. Which section is relevant for which person? I often give this when some people say, oh, this is like this, this is like this. Are they not contradictory? So, I have one answer for them. That is, now there are some sections which are presenting Krishna in a very extremely merciful manner. Right? Mercy aspect of Krishna is described. Second, strictness aspect of Krishna is described in some pastimes. We need to understand where to apply what. Right? One episode, for example, Putana's episode is there. So Putana came with such a malicious intent, with sheer envy in her heart, to kill Krishna. But she attained the position of a mother. Padbhyam bhakta hridistabhyam vandhyabhyam loka vanditaihi angam yasyah samakramya bhagavan api tatstanam yatu dhanyapi sasvarga bhavapajana nigatim krishna bhakta stanakshiraha kimugavonu mataraham padbhyam bhakta hridistabhyam. The lotus feet of Krishna are always residing in the hearts of devotees. Padbhyam bhakta hridistabhyam vandhyabhyam lokavanditaihi. All the great controllers of the universe who receive obeisances and respect and worship from people, they come and offer worship to Krishna's lotus feet. Padbhyam bhakta hridistabhyam vandhyabhyam lokavanditaihi angam yasyah samakramya. Putana did not get touch of that lotus feet only. Angam yasyah samakramya means Krishna is completely embracing Putana. He's not leaving Putana. She says, leave me child, but Krishna was tightly embracing her, not leaving. What is her fortune? Right? Angam yasyah samakramya bhagavan api tatstanam. She came to give her breast milk to Krishna, which is poison basically. Right? So, Angam yasyaha samakramya bhagavanapi tatstanam yatudhanyapi. Although she is a yatudhanya, which yatudhanyapi sasvargam, she attained the supreme planet of Krishna. Avapa jananigatim, she attained the position of a motherly nurse. Krishna bhuktastana kshiraha kimugavo numataraha. What to speak of the fortune of those gopis and cows that gave milk with love and affection to Krishna. This verse in the 10th canto, 6th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam shows how merciful Krishna is. And the Vedic literatures also have other pastimes, other verses. What is that in Chaitanya Charitamrita? One verse comes. Bhujanma kare yadi shravana kirtan tabuna paibe Krishna pade premadhan, right? Even after practicing devotional service, hearing and chanting for hundreds of lifetimes, you may not get Krishna Prem. One side, extreme mercy on Putana. Other side, extreme strictness on Sadhaka. Right? When to apply what we need to understand. Bhagavatam is like mother. Scriptures are like mother. Sometimes the mother may hug the child and kiss the child. Sometimes the mother may slap the child or chastise the child. Is the mother's nature contradictory? Absolutely not. Mother's behavior is tuned into the need of the child. Child is naughty, he needs chastisement. Child is well behaved, he needs a hug. Right? Similarly, some pastimes are there, some sections are there. They are relevant for people of certain section. There are some pastimes. They are also relevant. Right, but we need to know when to. Somebody is getting very lax in devotional service, spaced out japa, or becoming overconfident. You can't tell Bhujan, what is that verse? Padbhyam bhakta hridistabhyam kam vadayalum sharanam vrajema. We can't say that. We should say Bhujan makare yadi shravana kirtan. You are getting overconfident. Please take shelter of this verse. You should become a caution note. Some sections give a caution note, some sections give a lot of encouragement. Right, somebody is a little depressed. Right, you can't say Bhujanma Karayadi Shravana Kirtan. He'll become more depressed. You should tell Kamvada Yadam Sharanam Rajam. Hare Krishna is so merciful. Just like a like that, you should encourage him. Right. So we need to understand the relevance of different sections. Right. Akama Sarva Kama we have seen. So, and towards the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, Parikshit Maharaj asks these questions to Sukadeva Goswami. How to live and how to leave? What are the things that a person is supposed to do during his lifetime and at the time of death especially? So how to live and how to leave this world? So Bhagavatam teaches us both. How to live and how to leave. Time is less. I will not cover this. Rather, benefits of scriptural study. I will skip few things and go to the next sections. So Bhagavatam is also a wonderful combination of philosophy and pastimes. So we have seen the purpose of propagation, which is basically to keep the path back to Godhead open. We have seen certain prerequisites for propagation: personal mood, compassionate spirit, personal relish, and obedience and submissiveness to spiritual authorities who give us blessings. Then we have also seen scripture is a perfect tool for propagation, and we have seen the importance and relevance of Srimad Bhagavatam in everyone's life. And presentation in propagation. How do we present while propagating? I already gave one small section which comes under this. That is, we need to understand whom to present what. Right? Means someone who is getting overconfident, Bahujanma Karedi Shravana Kirtan. Someone who is getting discouraged or little morose, Kamva Dayalam Sharanam Vrajema. So like that, different sections prominently highlight something. For example, lust is there. So one has to deal with lust. So then we have different pastimes. Krishna, Shiva running behind Mohini Murti, Brahmaji running behind Vak, Pururava running behind Urvasi. Then who else? Yati in relation with Devayani and Sharmishta. Like that, there are different sections of Bhagavatam which are there to deal with certain issues. Right? Someone is insulting or speaking harsh words. Then Avanti Brahman's episode is there. It's very difficult to tolerate the insulting words of ignorant people. How do we handle it? Take shelter of Avanti Brahman's episode and sing Bhikshu Gita. Right? So like the different sections of Bhagavatam highlight different messages, and they are relevant for one's practical life and spiritual life in various ways. Identifying those sections or practical relevance. So now one need not know everything to share with others. That's what I'm doing now also. I don't know everything, but still I was called. So I came here remembering this verse. Tathapi kirtayam yangam yatha mati yatha shritam kirtim hare swam satkartam giram anyabhidasatiyam. After describing the universal form of the Lord, Maitreya Muni humbly says, actually I also don't understand completely. Tathapi, still kirtayami yanga, I still glorify yatha mati yatha shrutam, as much as I could hear and as much as I could assimilate. So whatever we hear from bona fide sources, whatever we understood from them, we can always share with other people, right? Otherwise the power of the tongue will be engaged in some activity or the other, and if it is not engaged in glorifying Krishna, it will be engaged in some other activities. That is giram anyabhida asatim. The power of speech will remain unchaste if it is not engaged in glorification of Krishna. And if it is not engaged in discussion of Krishna, paraspara anukathanam, if it doesn't happen, then kukatha mati ghnihi yastu shruta hata bhagayar nubhirartha sara tamstam kshipantya saraneshu tamassuhanta. Brahmaji laments in his prayers in the fifth canto, in the third canto. He says that someone who does not take interest in Krishna katha and they take shelter of bad topics, kukatha, by that kukatha mati ghnihi, their intelligence gets corrupted. Then tamstam kshipanti asharanesu, they will be thrown into the darkest regions of hell without any shelter. Tamstam kshipanti asharanesu tamassuhanta. So like that, one needs to engage one's power of speech in glorifying Krishna as much as they understand, and constantly make an endeavor to upgrade one's understanding also by regularly studying the scriptures as much as possible. And one beautiful, its animations are not coming somehow. I'll just mention what is there. So we have this one formula that we give to our Vidyapit students. Please, when they're writing their open book exams, are giving presentations, so we suggest them to include these elements called please in their presentation. Right? We can think in these terms. P for any personal application point, practical application point, or preaching application point. P. L for a lesson. E, an example. A, analogy. When some message is communicated with an analogy, it becomes very clear. Right in the beginning of our presentation, I was just mentioning about the need for studying scriptures. But that was presented along with Sukadeva Goswami's analogy of pathway getting blocked by green grasses in monsoon. Then the message becomes more clear and understandable and memorable. Right? Analogies. P-L-E-A-S. Shastric connections. When we hear or read one Shastric statement, there are 10 other statements that are connected to this. We hear one Bhagavatam verse, immediately we remember one Bhagavad Gita verse. Right? Prabhupada writes like that. Prabhupada writes commentary in such a way that other scriptures are also quoted in that. Or verses from other sections of the same scriptures are also quoted in that. That way, Bhaktivedanta purports are extremely inspiring. One example which I repeatedly tell, which very wonderfully encapsulates the tenure of a conditioned soul in this material world. Right? This Prabhupada writes in Rudra Gita purports. A mother will cook in the kitchen and feeds the children. Is it not? Then, sometimes, children, instead of eating that food cooked by mother, they also develop a desire to cook on their own. And if the children are taken into the kitchen and made to assist the mother, you put this and I will do this like that, they are not very happy, some children. They become so adamant, I want to cook on my own, right? I can't eat the food that you have cooked. Then an intelligent mother, what does she do? She gets a toy kitchen set, right? Because the child does not know the recipe to cook. Child cannot handle a knife while cutting sabji. The child may cut his own hands, or while handling with fire, he may burn his hands. So mother will bring a toy utensils kitchen set and engage the children in cooking, imitation cooking. And the children will cook, right? All the vegetables are imitation vegetables. Fire is imitation fire. Everything is imitation. Everything is plastic and there is no substance in it. The children will cook for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever, they will cook. But after getting little tired and exhausted in their imitation cooking, they'll come back to the mother and say, Mother, please feed me food. If the mother asks the child, you have cooked a lot of food in the last 2 hours, why don't you eat it? Then the child will say, that food is not meant for eating. That's only for playing, entertainment, time waste. So that doesn't mitigate my hunger. Then mother is very happy and eager for the child to come back. Yes, this fellow has come back. I can feed him now. Exactly same is the case with a conditioned soul in this material world. The conditioned soul in this material world does not seek pleasure in loving Krishna and serving Krishna. So he is given this toy kitchen set of this material world. You become a cook. Krishna is the cook there. But the conditioned soul wanted to become cook. So he is given a toy utensil set, toy kitchen set. That is the material world. So he will cook here. Basically he will be cooked here, but he thinks that he is cooking here. Right? So he thinks that he is cooking here. And sometimes the children will start fighting with each other. They say that I have cooked the best sabji and you have cooked the worst sabji. Actually nobody is cooking. The children are playing with utensils which are plastic utensils only, but they start fighting with each other saying that I have made paneer sabji, you have made brinjal sabji. I have made fried rice, you have made normal rice. Nobody has made anything that is worth eating. Similarly, in this material world, people think that I have a great job, you have a stupid job. I have accomplished a lot and you are not so good. Right? I am beautiful, you are ugly. I am tall, you are short. I am white, you are black. So they keep comparing themselves. But ultimately it's all matter. Right? Whether the body is tall or short or fat or thin or black or blue or whatever, ultimately behind this thin layer of skin, there is blood, bones, urine, stool, mucus, bile, hairs, nerves. Same thing. Pingala Gita says all this. Right? What is this body made of ultimately? So ultimately these two boys are not cooking anything, but they're fighting with each other. Right? Similarly, in this material world, it's like compared to a beehive, Prabhupada writes in the Rudra Gita purports only. Bees go to different flowers and collect honey from those flowers and they store it in the beehive. They store for a long time and the honey gets accumulated, then they start drinking that honey. When they begin to drink that honey from the beehive, other bees will start biting them. Right? They will not be allowed to drink their own honey, which they only have accumulated with their hard efforts. Similarly, in this material world, people earn a lot of money and they gather a lot of money and store it at one place. And at one point they want to enjoy it. Relatives will come and disturb. Our friends will come and disturb. Family members will come and disturb. A conditioned soul cannot enjoy his own wealth in this material world many times. And if it is on a national level, one nation accumulates a lot of money, another nation will come and fight with the nation or just steal that property and go somewhere else. Prabhupada writes all this. Like that, to communicate a message, some analogies are used, some examples are used, some lucid presentation is given, right? So there is a, these are different ways in presenting. So this is another example where conditioned soul is compared to silkworm in cocoon. There is basically one, this one example is God's reclaiming program in this world is wonderfully described by Prabhupada by the child's imitation cooking example. Right? He enjoys when the child is given an opportunity to play on his own, cook on his own, he's enjoying that playing certainly. But after a couple of hours, he gets frustrated in that enjoyment. Why? Because it doesn't satisfy the child's hunger. He has to come to the mother. Similarly, the conditioned soul is given material world to enjoy and he gets frustrated in that enjoyment. Right? Sometimes mother may send some servant maid to call the child back. Enough playing, come and eat. Similarly, Krishna makes the scriptures available in this world and acharyas, he sends acharyas, his devotees, to remind us, please come back. Scripture is a wonderful way of reminding the conditioned soul that he has a connection with Krishna. Acharyas also remind by explaining the scriptures. And sometimes the mother will personally go and call the child. If the servant maid is not working, mother will personally go. Once Yashodamai had sent Rohini Mata to bring Krishna and Balram. Krishna and Balram are not coming. Then Yashoda personally went. These boys are not coming. Yashodamai caught one hand of Krishna in her one hand and one hand of Balramji in her other hand and dragged both of them to house. So Krishna will come as incarnations to personally reclaim conditioned souls also. He gives enjoyment, he gives frustration also to make us realize that you cannot enjoy here. This is not the right way to seek enjoyment or pleasure. You should come back to me. And he reminds us through scriptures and acharyas and he personally descends also. So in these five different ways, Krishna tries to reclaim the conditioned souls. So I will not elaborate on this. It's already 9 o'clock. So we have seen purpose of propagation, which is basically keeping the path back to Godhead open. Prerequisites for propagation, personal relish, compassionate spirit, submission to acharyas. And tool for propagation, the scriptures, especially Srimad Bhagavatam. Presentation in propagation, a lucid presentation. And the presentation which is understandable and digestible by people in general when we are presenting. And final, just to meditate on the glorious activities of some role models. Perfect propagators. They are our acharyas. So our Acharya Vrinda, Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas, they are so merciful, they are so eloquent, they are so qualified, yet they are so humble. This beautiful verse comes in the 12th canto towards the end of Srimad Bhagavatam. Kasmayena vibhasito yamatulo jnana pradipa puram. Tadrupena cha naradaya munaye krishnaya tadrupinam. Yogindraya tadatmanatha bhagavadrataya karunyata. Tatshuddham vimalam vishokam amritam satyam param dhimahi. Kasmai yena, kasmai here is Brahma, yena vibhasitoya matulo jnana pradipaha pura. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna has given the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam to Brahmaji in the beginning of creation. Jnana pradipaha, from within the heart, Brahmaji was illuminated with the knowledge of Bhagavatam. That which illuminates is called pradipaha, jnana pradipaha. We have given the title to our monthly magazine as Bhagavata Pradipika. Inspiration is coming from here only. Jnana Pradipaha Pura. Tadrupena. Now Brahmaji was given knowledge by Krishna. Krishna spoke to Brahma. Tadrupena. In the form of Brahma. ನಾರದಾಯ ಮುನಗೆ, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸ್ಪೋಕ್ ಟು ನಾರದ ಮುನಿ. ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ತದ್ರೂಪಿಣ, ಇನ್ ದ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ನಾರದ ಮುನಿ ಹಿ ಸ್ಪೋಕ್ ಟು ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ದಿಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಈಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ದ್ವೈಪಾಯನ ವ್ಯಾಸ. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸ್ಪೋಕ್ ಟು ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ, ಇನ್ ದ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸ್ಪೋಕ್ ಟು ನಾರದ, ಇನ್ ದ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ನಾರದ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸ್ಪೋಕ್ ಟು ವ್ಯಾಸ. ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಯೋಗೀಂದ್ರಾಯ ತದಾತ್ಮನಾಥ, ಇನ್ ದ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ವ್ಯಾಸದೇವ್ ಹಿ ಸ್ಪೋಕ್ ಟು ಯೋಗೀಂದ್ರ ಸುಖದೇವ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ. ಭಗವದ್ರಾತಾಯ ಕಾರುಣ್ಯತಃ, ಭಗವದ್ರಾತ ಇಸ್ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್, ಇನ್ ದ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಸುಖದೇವ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸ್ಪೋಕ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಟು ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್. ರೈಟ್, ದಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ವೆದರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಆರ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಇಸ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಆರ್ ನಾರದ ಇಸ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಆರ್ ವ್ಯಾಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಆರ್ ಸುಖದೇವ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಆರ್ ಸೂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್, ಹೂ ಎವರ್ ಇಸ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಪರಂಪರ ಬೋನಫೈಡ್ ಪರಂಪರ, ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಥ್ರೂ ದಮ್, ಪ್ರೊವೈಡೆಡ್ ದ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಪರಂಪರ ಮೇಂಟೈನ್ ದ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಪರೆನ್ಸಿ ಇನ್ ದೇರ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಮಿಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸೆಂಡೆಂಟಲ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್. ದೆನ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಇಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಆಸ್ ಎ ಪಾರ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಪರಂಪರ. When transparency is maintained in transmitting the transcendental knowledge to the next generation, he is a bona fide candidate to be connected to the parampara. When concoction comes in, speculation comes in, deviation comes in, he is not a part of parampara. So, but if that transparency is maintained, of course, presentation, as I said, with certain examples, which is relevant for the time, place and circumstances, which is digestible by people, how much ever has to be given. Right in the beginning, we can't just start 5th canto, 26th chapter, hellish planets. People will run away instead of coming in. So, a sensitivity has to be maintained, what can this person digest and all. But the essence of the message has to be preserved. Right? So, when that essence is preserved, transparency is maintained, and thus the Lord's words are repeated, scripture's words are repeated, such person is a bona fide candidate to transmit the compassion of parampara, to become an instrument, bona fide instrument in the hands of Prabhupada and the parampara. Tat shuddham, it's pure. Vimalam, absolutely no contamination. Vishokam, free from lamentation. Satyam param dhimahi, amrutam nectarian. Satyam param dhimahi, let us meditate on the absolute knowledge presented by Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam begins with the word Satyam Param Dhimahi, first verse. This is one of the last verses of the last chapter of the last canto, again Satyam Param Dhimahi. After this there are a couple of verses. So this is what Acharya is maintaining. ಯೈರೀದೃಶಿ ಭಗವತೋ ಗಚರಾತ್ಮವಾದ ಏಕಾಂತತೋ ನಿಗಮಭಿ ಪ್ರತಿಪಾದಿತಾನ ತುಷ್ಯಂತ್ವದಭ್ರಕರುಣ ಸ್ವಕೃತೇನ ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಕೋ ನಾಮ ತತ್ ಪ್ರತಿಕರೋತಿ ವಿನೋದ ಪಾತ್ರಂ. ಹೂ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ರೀಪೇ ದ ಡೆಟ್ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಓ ಟು ಆಚಾರ್ಯಸ್. ದೇ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಪುಟ್ ದಿ ಸ್ಕ್ರಿಪ್ಚುರಲ್ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ರೈಟಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ಅ ಲ್ಯಾಂಗ್ವೇಜ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡಬಲ್ ಬೈ ಎಸ್, ಇನ್ ಅ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟೇಷನ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡಬಲ್ ಬೈ ಎಸ್. ನೋ, ಸುಖದೇವ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಸ್ಪೋಕ್ 18,000 ವರ್ಸಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ. ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ಫೋರ್ ಲೈನ್ಸ್, ಫೋರ್ ಲೈನ್ ವರ್ಸಸ್. ರೈಟ್, ಮೆನಿ ಆರ್ ಲಿಟಲ್ longer, smaller, according to the meter and all, that's fine. There's a technical way of calculating how it comes to 18,000. So I'm not going into those technicalities. A four-line verse is there. How many people on this planet, how many mortals have the bandwidth to understand what that one four-line verse indicates? Acharya's cue, four-page or four-paragraph explanation of this four-line verse, then we can understand something. Right, and those four line or four paragraph purports also have to be discussed in the association of devotees, then something will go inside. So now Krishna's compassion is being transmitted through these acharyas in different ways, in different stages. First, that Krishna katha came in the form of four line verses, right, or in one Veda, then Vyasadeva divided into four Vedas like that. So Bhagavatam, if it comes to Bhagavatam, they came in the form of 18,000 verses. But our acharyas like Baldev Ujjava, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Sanatan Goswami, Jeev Goswami, all these acharyas have given elaborate commentaries on each of these verses. And Prabhupada translated it, put it into English. So like that, now the original one seed form of the scripture, Krishna Katha, he is taking so many forms. by the compassion of different acharyas. Similarly, we have our role to present what Prabhupada has presented in a way that is understandable by the modern crowd. Right? So now, what the Chatushloki Bhagavatam has spoken to Brahmaji, same thing if we put, we can't just decipher it to expand it into such a big thing. Right? That has to be expanded into 80,000 verses. Vyasadeva has done it. And that has to be commented upon. Chakravartipas has done it. That has to be translated into English. Prabhupada has done it. And we have our role to play. To continue. In a way that is digestible by the modern crowd. For that we need to digest it first. To some extent at least. So it's a non-repayable debt to what acharyas have done. We can't repay it. If we try to repay it, that's why I kept this picture. Vino udapatram. Vina udapatram. Make your hands like a cup. And inside that, take little water of Ganges and offer it back to Ganges. Similarly, when we have to express our gratitude to the acharyas, we can't do it. Take their process and practice it as much as possible, nicely. And that's our offering of gratitude. Yes. Accepting the mercy of acharyas is our expression of thanks, probably. Right? We can't actually repay them for what they have done to us. So I'm going overboard. I'll conclude in 60 seconds by telling this. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one acharya. We have seen how acharya's purports help us a lot in understanding the scripture. But see the mood that they maintain. He said, I studied Vaishnava Toshni of Sanatana Goswami. I studied the Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami. I got the mercy of Sridhar Swami. And I am also inspired to make a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam in the form of Sararta Darshini. Probably I am rash in this attempt. Am I qualified to do this? And am I doing it out of arrogance or out of causeless mercy of the Lord? So now he makes another statement. If I am doing this commentary out of my arrogance or my foolishness, it will only create mockery. But if I am doing it out of the causeless mercy of Krishna, it will create ecstasy in the readers with every word. Now, if there is any credit for my activity, that goes to Krishna. If there is any blame for that activity, that goes to me. That's what Chakravartipat says, right in the first verse of his Bhagavatam commentary. Now, the modern mentality or the materialistic mentality is to claim credit and shift blame. But Vaishnavacharyas are teaching, after accomplishing so much in their lives, they teach us to claim blame and shift credit. Transfer credit. If there is any blame, take responsibility for it. What a great example. Personally, I can say more than the eloquent, elaborate, and technical, scholarly explanations of Srimad Bhagavatam given by our acharyas, what is more inspiring to me is, that's all wonderful, no doubt about it. What's more inspiring to me is their humble mood. Their humility really touches the heart. Now, Prabhupada says, now our Kaviraj Goswami says, it's all because of mercy of Nityanand Prabhu, it's all because of the blessings of Vaishnavas, and I beg readers for their blessings. You know this, I'm lower than worm in stool, I'm lower than Jagai Mathai. Even just by taking my name, someone will get all sins. He presents his humility. And Prabhupada says, right in his first commentary only, first verse commentary only, which author will refer to some other author? He is opening his book right in the beginning only. You read these authors. That's what Prabhupada says. In the first purport, he says, within the past 500 years, many erudite scholars and acharyas like Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Vallabhacharya, and many other distinguished scholars, even after the time of Lord Chaitanya, made elaborate commentaries on the Bhagavatam, and a serious student would do well to attempt to go through them to better relish the transcendental messages. That is his humility. And he says more that if there is any credit for my translation activities, that should go to my guru, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It is his desire. That's why it is happening. Second, I thank all my American disciples who have assisted me in various ways. So this is what I just paraphrased. So he's giving credit to the previous acharyas and the people who assisted him. He's not claiming any personal credit. So this is the mood of our acharyas. Although they are so scholarly, so dedicated, but still they are extremely humble at heart. So when that mood is maintained, the propagation will become very effective. So I'll not go into all these details. So basically we discussed these five things: purpose of propagation, prerequisites, presentation style, the perfect tool for propagation, and perfect propagators. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you all very much.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So now you all know why I called him. So no need to describe much. So it's a great opportunity for all IIYC to join the 2 years course in Wada. And if you cannot join, at least you can send those devotees who are about to join. It will be very easy job for all the managers for future. You will have very good devotees who relish Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhu. You came all the way from Vada. And you could have stayed with us and then spent the whole next day also, but you are teaching there. Sometime else please come. And, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.